Hi, this is Tyler, a.k.a. Taibei, and I'm the current chairman of the Academy for Modding Excellence.
Hi, this is Tony Donadio, a.k.a. I'm Darian from the Academy for Modding Excellence, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is so exciting! Wow! Where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, this is Trey, a.k.a. Ashercon Zelo.
Hi, this is Shai, a.k.a. Striker B.
Hi, this is Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda.
Hey, and this is episode 125 of the only Neverwinter Nights podcast, On the Face of Faerun.
Faerun?
Did I say that right?
Was there a face of Faerun? I didn't know there was a face.
Yeah, I call him the face of the world, face of Faerun.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
I was trying to be funny.
Right. Yeah. Last two words for a moment.
Well, hey, for our constant listeners who listen to us all the time, they've probably heard these two guys before on the show. We have with us tonight Tyler, a.k.a. Taibei, and Tony, a.k.a. Andarian, from the Academy of Modding Excellence. And they're going to be sitting in with us while we do some news here real quick, and then we're going to interview these guys about their new 2009 Golden Dragon Awards cycle. Welcome to the show, guys.
Good to be here again.
So before we jump into that, let's get to some news.
If you guys keep up with any kind of hardware and stuff, you may have heard of the Microsoft Surface, which is a tabletop unit that can track multiple touch points and some of the really cool applications they've come out with that. Over on Crunch Gear, they've got an article about Carnegie Mellon University's senior project where they've actually ported a version of Dungeons & Dragons to run on the Surface unit itself. And it looks really awesome because they've taken the figurines, which from the traditional pen and paper, did Dungeons & Dragons, and put points of recognition on them. So when you set them down on the table, it actually starts putting menus around it and allows you to start doing feats and rolls and all kinds of stuff. And it really looks awesome. There's a little video about it on their site if you want to check that out. If you happen to be going to PAX or going to the GDC this year, they say they're going to have the Surface units there too for you to look at. So they're really cool. So if you want to check that out, this is going to be the next level of gaming. It's pen and paper and computer all at the same time. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, Jay's our resident Microsoft MVP.
Most valuable peon.
No.
All right. The Neverending Nights are going to release their final season, the first season soon.
When?
This is the question everybody wants to ask, because they just finished writing the episode 65 right. Of the third season.
Yeah, I think
65
episodes. Yeah, I think Twamas says that it's going to be at the end of probably the end of February is when they're going to release the
first one,
the first episode. Yeah,
cool.
So everybody look forward to that. I know those are cool, and we've had them on the show before. Hope to have them on again.
But sadly, this is the last season.
Yeah.
They're calling it quits after this.
Well, who knows? Probably, they probably do it again.
Unless the community continues to pressure them to continue on. Yes, yes. I think that's a good idea.
Do pressure them.
Yeah.
No, I think this is the last one, he said. Okay, I think that's it for the news. And now, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to knock y'all into tomorrow. And as I mentioned earlier, we have back with the special guests, Tyler, a.k.a. Taibei, and Tony, a.k.a. Andarian, from the Academy of Modding Excellence. And we're going to be talking to them about the 2009 Golden Dragon Awards cycle that started in January. So welcome back, guys.
Good to be here.
Thanks.
So why don't one of you start out and tell us what you've been up to since the 2008 awards were closed out? And I think you have you announced a new chairman, correct?
That's right. Actually, Taibei is our new chairman as of, I think, last week of December. and he's taking over the Academy. I'm still involved, but much more peripherally than before. I'm only working a very minimal a workload with the Academy this this year, because I'm going back to modding, developing the third chapter of my Sanctum of the Archmage series. So I'm working on that as pretty much full time. All my spare time is on that right now.
Now, are you modding that in Neverwinter Nights?
Actually, I'm doing it in Neverwinter Nights 1, and I've got some very interesting plans for using new custom content. It's being built with Project Q, for example, and cool. And some custom content that I'm working with some folks on developing for that. I'm also putting together a modding team for it, and I've got a couple of folks working with me so far on doing that. I do eventually plan to migrate the series to Dragon Age. I'm not entirely sure whether it'll be at some point I'll switch over and then the last modules will be in Dragon Age, or if I'll start porting some to Dragon Age as we're developing some of the modules in Neverwinter Nights 1. That's all to be determined, and it'll partly depend on how many people I can get to help me out with it.
Excellent.
So, hey, Tyler, how did you get roped into... I mean, how did you get the prestigious honor of taking over the Academy of Modding Excellence?
I lost a bet. Well, it was something that I was thinking about stepping away from the Academy for a while to, you know, focus more on my family life and, you know, with my new daughter and everything and going back to school. But, you know, after doing it for a little while, I just had more time. So I figured, you know, why not? I'm going to be in the Academy anyway.
Heck with school.
Yeah, I know. Heck with school. Who needs to learn good? But no, I found out that I had more time than I actually thought I did. So, you know, I figured that, you know, I'll just slide into the Academy. And then I said, hey, you know, I'll take over the chairman position. And we held a vote, and I won. I won.
Hey, I'll help out. Okay, you're the leader.
Yeah, exactly. Here you go.
That's the way it works where at my job.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, I'll help. Yeah, I know about that. Okay, then you get to do it.
You're the resident expert. Congratulations.
Yes.
So, cool. So, was there any kind of – sorry, I'm jumping in here with another question. How did you guys transition that over? Was there any special stuff you had to do?
You Mike Hogg.
Sorry. I'm curious. I want to know.
Not really, no. I mean, I was the vice chairman last year, and I was in Tony and I worked pretty closely together last year. So it was pretty a smooth transition for us. The only thing I really needed to get was just, you know, paperwork from the members, and that's really about it. Just say, hey, you know, I'm taking over, and it is what it is.
Yeah, we basically had a at the end of every year we go through a phase where we evaluate the previous year's awards and then have a discussion about how can we do things differently that might make things better. Can we change some of the awards, and that sort of thing. And we started that process toward the end of last year, and then I just tossed it off to Ty Bay, and he picked it up and took it forward.
Yeah, so everything that is bad about the AME came from the last
yes.
the last people that were in office. So
what are you talking about? There's nothing bad.
Hey, it's perfectly okay. You can always blame stuff on the person that left.
We won last year. Come on.
Well, that wasn't bad. That was good.
Yes. Hey, so speaking of the cycle starting, how's that going?
It's actually going really well. We have all of our categories set up. Everything's set up. Everybody's making nominations. And what I'm really impressed with this year is that we have a very, very good team this year, I think. We're having a lot of really good discussions on, what we're doing, the changes that we've made, as far as procedural changes and that kind of thing, and as far as how we're handling certain things that I think we'll get into later. But I'm very, very impressed with our team this year on the really healthy discussions that we've had. You know, they've gotten heated at times, but, you know, that happens all the time. But for the most part, everything's been, you know, very civil. Everybody's been voicing their opinion without, you know, stepping on anybody's toes. And I've been very, very impressed by that this year.
Yeah, well, that's what you want. You want some passion, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if there aren't any arguments, nobody has any passion for anything, you know?
All right, you have made changes for 2009. One of those things modifying of the Veteran Award to include extensive updates to current releases. Why did you decided to do it?
Well, it's pretty much because of 1.69 Project Q, the new CEP release, because adding that kind of content to your already existing module is not an easy task. It takes hours and hours of, I mean, sometimes even years of actually adding the content, testing the content, making sure the content works. So in essence, you're actually releasing almost a brand new module with brand new content. And I'm sure that Tony can elaborate that on a little more than I can as a builder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, one of the things that we've thought about for a long time is the fact that all of our awards are pretty much geared around the idea of awarding things for the current year. What's the what awards are we getting out for 2009, for 2008, and so on? There were no awards that said anything to the effect of what do we do about works that were submitted in previous years but have been updated, where you know people have put in a great deal of work or may have put in a great deal of work. We wanted to be able to have a way to recognize that kind of accomplishment as well. And that was one of the motives behind extending the Veteran Author Award to allow updates as well as new work.
The author still has to have submitted something in the current year to be eligible, but their whole encompassing entirety of work actually comes into the equation.
Exactly. The way we always handled it before is that the veteran author had to have both submitted things in previous years, otherwise he wouldn't be a veteran, and he had to have submitted a new work in the current year. And basically the change now is to say, in addition to having submitted a new work in the current year, he could have done extensive updates to a previous work to qualify for nomination in the current year.
Gotcha.
Well, that's really cool, because I know there's several modules that are very iterative in the way that they're progressing their story or the way they want to do things. And you see version 1, 2, 3, or 4 of the same module, and it does evolve over time. So that's really a good addition to that, I think.
Well, thank you. It's something that we've all been thinking about for a while, and something that we really wanted to do to recognize a lot of the authors that have already had work out and then spent extensive time adding either 1.69, Project Q, or CEP, or you know that kind of stuff to their modules that already exist, because it's just not an easy task, as anybody who's ever built a module can tell you.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit almost more difficult to go back and fix an existing one than it would be to start a new one from scratch, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of times it is, yeah.
Sometimes you have to do surgery.
Right. Yeah.
So you've also changed the award system to reflect two types of categories, core and non-core. Explain what that means.
Well, I'll give you a little bit of backstory first, is that last year we had a problem with being able to fill all of the awards. Especially on the Neverwinter Nights 2 side, that we ended up having to push back the awards several times because we didn't have enough nominations to actually go on to the finals process. So what we decided to do is that let participation by the team dictate what awards we hand out and how many awards we hand out. So what we decided to do is create a sort of core and non-core core of non-core awards for the Golden Dragon Awards this year. And what it means is that the awards that are core are ones that we felt as a team were the awards that we felt that were most important to the Golden Dragon Awards and to the community as a whole. And we decided to go ahead and focus on those. And then the non-core awards are sort of the gravy awards, where if we get, you know, as soon as all the core ones are filled up, we can go on to the non-core awards.
Right. So instead of spreading ourselves potentially too thinly, trying to cover too many awards, try to identify which ones are the really important ones, the core awards, do those first, and then if there's time, do the other ones.
Ah, gotcha. So what are the core categories, and how did you decide what makes them a core category?
Well, we actually have a different number of core categories for both games, Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2, just because of the participation level that we have at both games. For Neverwinter Nights 1, the core categories are Best Storytelling, Community Contribution, Debut Author, Veteran Author, Best Custom Content, Best Roleplay Module, Best Action Module, and Best Tile Set. And for Neverwinter Nights 2, the core awards are Community Contribution, Debut Author, Best Custom Content, Best Roleplay Module, and Best Storytelling Module. And how we came up with those is after last year's cycle, after everything was done, we posted a poll on our boards about, you know, it said pick your four categories, or I think it was it four or five, Tony?
I set it up as five.
Five, that's right. We were able to pick five categories that we thought were most important, what we thought were going to be the core categories, and then those five automatically advanced on to the next year. And then as we got more and more participation forms, we were able to actually add to the Neverwinter Nights 1 side. But on the Neverwinter Nights 2 side, we actually were only able to keep it to the core five. And that's not to say that, you know, a non-core category can't win an award. What we do, actually, I'll give you a little bit of background on what we do, is every year we send out participation forms to our members, and they fill out the participation form. They decide what categories they want to participate in, and then they hand them back to the chairman. Mm-hmm. And then Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
One quick interjection. It's actually an important distinction. It's the ones that they're committing to doing, not necessarily the ones that they're going to participate in. And, yeah. I mean, members can participate in as many as they want, but we ask them to say, pick four that you promise you're going to do. And that helps us to plan.
Yeah, and part of that four is being like an officer in the Academy of Providing Excellence, like myself being a chairman counts as one of those participations. Then after the member has voted in all of their core categories and nominated in all their core categories, then they can go to the non-core categories, and then we can have, like, you know, what we call the gravy awards, where if they happen to get enough participation, which would be at least three nominations in each category, then we can move that non-core category onto the finals and vote.
Excellent. So in your opinion, what is the most fun category to be able to work on?
That depends on who you ask, really. I am a big mm-hmm. fan of the storytelling modules, and I'm a big fan of also tile sets. I love tile sets. I love looking at them. I love playing with them and all that good stuff. And I love a great story. I just love to be immersed in the story, and I love to be able to, you know, play Neverwinter Nights, and just, I want to know what's going on next, and I don't really want to stop playing, and I've missed hours and hours and hours of sleep because of that.
I'll give you my favorites. I'm with Ty. My favorite by far is the best storytelling module. That's always been the one that my heart's been in. I'm also very fond of the best sound and music award. That's one that I've always made a point to participate in every year if I can. Because I think that sounds and music actually add some of very important ambiance and sort of mood to a module. And it's sometimes overlooked in module design.
Were you able to listen to our episodes where we had Travis Richards on?
That's on my to-listen-to list. I remember noticing that you guys had posted it up, but I haven't had time to get to it yet. I do plan to, though.
Yeah, you need to listen to he has some good music.
He is fabulous. I've got some of his work is on plan for my upcoming modules.
Cool. And the music that we're now using in our podcast is actually done by him.
Oh wow!
In the last couple, since episode 120, 122, I believe.
Well, I keep trying to listen to the podcast, but you know, I commute on the commuter train every morning, 40 minutes into the city, and you know, I keep falling asleep. I get on the train and I sit down and it's like taking a sleeping pill, and I just fall. I'm by two stops later, I'm asleep, and then I wake up in the Transbay Tube between Oakland and San Francisco because it's so loud, and I never miss my stop, although I have a couple times.
So I understand you guys have added an international recognition award. What's the challenges of trying to add that?
One of the big challenges is getting people from the international community to help us out, because we only have a few people that speak languages other than English. So far, French seems to be the most popular other language besides English. But as far as, you know, how we're going to handle the awards, that's all still up in the air right now. we're not really, we haven't really figured out exactly what we're going to do, if we're going to hand out like one blanket award to the whole international community, or if we're going to, you know, go language by language. It just all depends on how many people that we can get to help us out. And on that note, one of the things that I wanted to do here was reach out to the international community to see if anybody wanted to help us out with the awards, being able to, evaluate the modules that are in other languages, in Spanish, Portuguese, Russian, French, whatever. That would be a big help to us. And
what are Russian?
There is Russian as well, yes.
Bonjour, bonjour, ça va?
Bless you.
It's French, not
that's
Russian. French.
That's not Russian.
And on a personal level, I think that, you know, every year that we hand out awards, I really feel like, you know, we're just leaving the international community out. And it's really important to me on a personal level to be able to recognize that Neverwinter Nights is not only done in English, but it's done in, you know, several other languages, probably dozens of other languages, and that it deserves to be recognized.
Stryker, you should help him out with Russian.
Good. I will try.
So if you have somebody that's in the international community that would like to help you guys out with, where do they need to go, and or who do they need to email?
They can go to our site, which I'm assuming will be in the show notes. And it's www.ame-gda.net. You can go to that site and you can send myself a PM, or you can send, we have two people that are heading up Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2. Neverwinter Nights 1 is Lore of Old. You can email him. We can send him a PM. And Neverwinter Nights 2 is Sir Chat still. And you can send him a message from Neverwinter Nights 2. But I'd prefer that you just contact me, because I've got the same username everywhere.
Okay, well, hopefully this will help and get somebody over there where you can get that going, because I agree with you. That's a big part of the community. So I applaud you for reaching out to that, because sometimes the international community does get left out.
Don't you still have a cockroach?
We do. We do have a roach. And that's one thing that he really wanted us to be able to do, and I would love to make that happen for him.
So we also hear that you've added a new position to the AME ranks, Dragon Age Leader. So why have you decided to do that, and who will be eligible for it?
Well, we did decide that, you know, we want to attempt to recognize Dragon Age in the Golden Dragon Awards. But we don't really know how to go about it right now. And so what we decided to do is create a position called the Dragon Age Leader, who I'm happy to announce is Andarian. He has decided to take on the role of Dragon Age Leader. And since he was one of the people that was brought to BioWare headquarters and shown the game and been able to play with the game before it came out, it seemed a logical choice. And so I think I'll let him take over from here.
Basically, we're as Taibei said, I had the privilege of being invited to BioWare in Edmonton last summer to participate in the Dragon Age toolset builders event, and I was also a member of the Dragon Age beta test last year.
Lucky dog.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree. It's I assume all of you have either heard a lot about it or played it. It's a fabulous game that takes RPG playing and modding to a whole new level, in my opinion. It's going to enable some very remarkable mod development, but it's, you know, it just came out recently. Obviously, it takes people time to figure out how to use the tool set, how to build modules in it, what are the new techniques that you have to use. You know, it's not the same as building in Neverwinter Nights, for example. And then just have time, you know, for people to be able to actually put work out. So there's a probably good year before we'll be in any sort of position to be able to have enough material out to consider evaluating Dragon Age modules. And the idea was basically to have somebody who was going to be looking at Dragon Age anyway. I'm planning to expand my Sanctum of the Archmage module development into Dragon Age over the next year and a half. So I'll be looking at Dragon Age anyway, and I have been looking at it, and it made sense for me to say, you know what, let me do that, and then I'll try and come back, to, you know, near the end of the year and give the Academy a report on how it looks like the community is shaping up, and make some suggestions about how we might be able to expand the Academy into doing Dragon Age work. So that's basically what the position's about.
Cool. And speaking of Dragon Age, actually, the Neverwhere Nights podcast has actually spawned a new podcast called Dragon Age Podcast. It started this week, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, our own David Lambert, a.k.a. the Victus X, and Matt, a.k.a. Jerwin, who was doing some web work for us, decided they wanted to run with that, and I'm glad they did. So you also need to check that out. It's DragonAgePodcast.com. And hopefully they can have you on the show, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we thought about it since we want to cover Dragon Age, and that's definitely something that's a goal in our future. And a lot of the input, that Tony gives the Academy is going to decide what how we go about doing it. And I'm really excited about doing something like that because the potential for the AME is just astronomical. Because Neverwinter Nights 1, Neverwinter Nights 2, and Dragon Age aren't the only moddable games that are out there. I mean, we can potentially cover any kind of moddable game.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think it's really good to point out here that whoever had the foresight to pick the name of it to be Academy of Modding Excellence and not the Neverwinter Nights Modding Excellence, just limit yourself, is to be applauded. It allows you to kind of expand real easily.
That would be the original founder, wouldn't it?
Mocha TGS, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We owe her a lot.
Yeah, and hopefully that spinoff podcast will be the beginning of, we're hoping, a network of podcasts as well.
Ow. The Academy for Modding Podcasts.
Yeah, you can do that. Now that hopefully, depending on how things go, eventually maybe we'll have a place where you can come and listen to any kind of podcast you want about any kind of games, or maybe, like you said, any of the groups that want to maybe do their own podcast. That would be cool too.
Yeah, the potential for anything like that is just astronomical.
Yeah.
It just takes the right person to be able to market it.
Yep.
Agreed. Speaking of marketing, you guys have a public forum moderator. Is part of their responsibility going to be marketing, or what was the reason for doing that, and have you named this person yet?
For a while now, I've always noticed that, our public boards don't really get very much attention, and, we don't really get much attention until we post an interview or we post a news article, and during the cycle, it's very difficult for us as a group to be able to, keep the public boards going because we're so focused on doing what we're doing. So I came up with the idea of having a public forum moderator, somebody who can just, post random articles or, post random stuff about Neverwinter Nights and basically just keep the boards going on. And yes, we have named that person, and that person is Cuckoo. The esteemed author.
I didn't ask you what mental capacity they had. I want to know who it is.
Well, if you know this guy, they're one of the same.
He's got one of those names that covers both.
But
that's one of the nickname.
That's great.
He is the esteemed author of Resurrection Gone Wrong and Resurrection Gone Honor, the sequel. Romancing the Bob, I think he calls it. He's a really cool guy. He's on the boards quite often, and I asked him, hey, would you be interested in, helping us, keep the boards going, post something maybe, once, maybe twice a week, and, he just keeps some conversations flowing. That way we can, when people come to our site, they're not just seeing the same stuff over and over and over again. And, it just seemed logical to actually have somebody who's not a member, which he is not a member, I should make that, clear, and have somebody who's there to just, like I said, just keep everything going, keep everything flowing.
He should do a module called Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Wow.
Ba-dum-bums. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Don't forget to tip your waitress.
No kidding. I did, but she fell down.
So Tyler, how's Daddy's little girl doing? Are you loving fatherhood?
Oh yeah, I am totally loving fatherhood. To be brutally honest, before my daughter was born, I didn't really want kids. You know, when my wife is pregnant, you know, I'm going through, oh no, I'm going to be a father. You know, what am I going to do? Da, 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 da. But when
scared you, didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But, you know, and the day that she was born, all of that changed.
Yep.
In an instant, it's like instantaneous, unconditional love for somebody you've never met in your life. And it was just an amazing experience and she's at the point where she can interact with you. She smiles and laughs and all that good stuff. And she's at a really cute age and we don't want her to grow up.
That's awesome.
And yeah. If you're friends with me on Facebook, oh, thank you. And if you're friends with me on Facebook, I'm on Facebook. My real name is no big secret. And you can see all the pictures on my site.
Oh, do you want to tell them about the AME Facebook page?
Yes. Speaking of which, the AME has a Facebook page. Thank you for reminding me, Tony. if you go to Facebook, you can search for Academy for Modding Excellence and become a fan of the AME. And we're on there, and you know, it's just starting, so we only have a few fans right now. But we can, you know, we're trying to, you know, manage the Facebook page and also manage the website, and also Cuckoo is actually a part of that as well. Part of his being the public forum moderator is, you know, checking up on that from time to time. And myself and Tony and Laura Vold and Sir Chet and Cuckoo all have the access to that, and we can just post whatever we want.
I'm looking for it right now.
Oh, we got 12.
I beat you.
Actually, I think it's up to the Academy for Modding Excellence.
I'm just impressed how you can keep a straight face and say Cuckoo.
It's because I've known him for a while. He's actually a really, really nice guy and a family man and strange dude from Colorado.
Hey, there's a Mask of the Betrayer group too. You have 12 fans.
Woo.
13 now. Well, hey guys, before we sign off, any last comments you want to leave the listeners with before we head out?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the podcast team for letting us come on here and solicit people to join our ranks and, you know, in the disguise of an interview. what I really wanted to do is reach out to the Neverwinter Nights 2 community, mm-hmm. because we have very few people that work on the Neverwinter Nights 2. We have, you know, we have 5 awards that are our core awards, but we only have 3 people working on the Neverwinter Nights 2 side of things. So people who play Neverwinter Nights 2, if you want to help us out, you know, hand out the Golden Dragon Awards for Neverwinter Nights 2, absolutely please contact me on this site, on the bio boards. I have the same username everywhere. I'm not hard to find. But, you know, please help us out because, you know, if we don't get enough participation, there could be a chance of us even whittling down the Neverwinter Nights 2 awards even farther than they are now, just because of, you know, the lack of participation. But we really need people to help us out.
Yeah, I just want to reemphasize what Ty May said. I mean, we really are in a situation right now where in order to do justice to the Neverwinter Nights 2 community, which I think we would like to do and which it deserves, we need participation, more participation from members of the Neverwinter Nights 2 community to come and help us with that. So if you feel that it's important to you that Neverwinter Nights 2 have a strong representation in the Academy's awards, you know, do consider coming by and giving us a hand with that.
Yeah, and with the core awards that we have, it's really not all that difficult. I mean, if you already play community modules, you're halfway there. If you build community modules, mm-hmm. you're already halfway there. It's actually a fairly easy transition for a lot of people. I mean, you can even reach out to the members that we have now. If you look in our forums, in our news page, we have all of our bios listed there, and all the bios that are listed there are people who are active members, and you can ask them, you know, what does it take to be an AME member? You don't have to take our word for it. You can actually take their word for it instead, and, you know, get some reaffirmation of, you know, what it takes to really be an AME member, and it's really not that difficult.
Yeah, I think it's worth pointing out that in terms of the commitment that we ask for members, the minimal commitment is not overwhelming. It's basically you know, work on 4 categories, and we get some very motivated people, especially after the number of years that Neverwinter Nights has been out. who often will do more work. So we always often talk about it being a lot of work. But in terms of, you know, someone who feels that they might want to help out, but they don't want to get in too deep, there is a level at which you can help us out without overcommitting yourself.
And we've added a new position at the Academy for Modding Excellence, which is called a trial member, which gives you access to our private forums. We can't give you access, obviously, to our voting forums or anything like that until you're a full member, but at least access to our private forums and being able to view the private forums. You're not going to be able to post in the private forums, but you can view them. You can see what we talk about. You can see, you know, how things kind of work. And you know, that way that gives it, you know, somebody a nice smoother transition into being an AME member.
Kind of like a young Padawan.
Exactly.
Trying to be a Jedi.
It is work. It's a labor of love, but for people who are officers, it's definitely a lot more work. For myself, for Andarian, for Lorehold, for Serchet, it's definitely a little bit more of a load because we're officers and we're supposed to be getting everything going, getting everything together. But for somebody who's just a regular member, it's really not all that bad. When I was first recruited to the AME, I was recruited by Ben, who was our former chairman before Darian was the chairman. And, I was kind of standoffish. What would I have to do? What would be this? What would be that? And then, once I said, I'll go ahead and do it. And once I got into it, it really wasn't all that bad. I mean, because everything I already had was already down. I already played modules. An amateur builder, I can help a little bit with, custom content and that kind of thing. And it's really helped me grow in the Neverwinter Nights community. It's helped me become a better builder. It's helped me become more into community content and that kind of stuff.
Excellent. So I'm curious, after you guys are on our show and we do these interviews and you tell the community what you need and what you're looking for, do you usually get some good responses?
We do, yeah. People say, we've seen you. We have almost every member listens to the podcast because we're in our private forums. We actively say, hey, we're going to do a podcast on this night. Keep checking it out. We listen to the podcast, and we definitely get a lot of positive response from it. But as far as the community goes, I'm not sure if we've had somebody join because of the podcast, but I'd love that to change.
Cool. I was just curious. Appreciate y'all coming back on the show.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So, hey, and we're back. That was pretty good, Jay. Stryker?
Yeah, very good.
Always glad to hear from the AME and what's going on over there. Always doing a good thing for the community.
Did we go anywhere?
What?
Are we going somewhere?
No.
Yeah. I thought we were going to the cave to visit the sick dragon.
Oh, yeah. The dragon is sick tonight. She was unable to make it to the show. She was going to try to be here, but she said she was sick again. So she'd been eating too many of those nights.
I could do it.
Well, Sarmas do give a stomach ache.
So, hey, if y'all get a chance, please help support us. Go to the front page website or the front page of the website and click on the donate button and send us a little gold for our coffers if you don't mind. Help keep us going. Anything else we want to talk about before we sign off, Jay?
No, I can't think of anything. I'm just hoping to get some gaming time in here real soon. We've been playing a lot of more board games than I've been playing PC games. So.
Have you? Till next time, get in game.
And level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights Podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2010. And now, live from the can,
it's Tony.
Wow. Is it me or Skype is getting worse?
No, I accidentally clicked the wrong button.
That's not the mute button for me.
Great. You're not supposed to click the wrong button.
My daughter came in to tell me goodnight, and I muted the mic, and then when I went to unmute it...
That's a very effective mute, by the way. Probably the most effective one ever executed in a conversation.
Yes, a total mute.
Okay, let's do that last one over again.
two overs.
So, Stryker, just start out, and you take that news item.
Wait. All right. Are you recording?
Hold on. Yes, I'm recording. I'll have two files now. Okay, that's it for the news. Now we have back with us our special guest, Tyler, like I mentioned earlier, Tyler, a.k.a.
Hello. Perfect timing.
Warning.
Bill Robinson. Tony, did you ever? Were you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. I never checked with you after I hung up. Sorry. Whose phone is that? Oh, it's Tyler.
Bye, bye. Can we wait forever? Trey, I think you will have free files today.
Strangers in the night. La da da da. Oh, we're done? Okay, good.
I think we're done. Sorry about that. Yeah, it helps when you have a cordless phone to keep it charged.
Ah, yeah.
Tracker, you want to ask him number three?
Number three?
No, number three.
Three?
He's going to hurt you if you ever meet face to face, man.
Tracker loves me.
Yes. No.
In that, like Ned Beatty squeal like a pig sort of way?
Exactly.
You.
Moving on.
Okay.
Did we lose you, Stryker? You okay?
No, just give me a moment.
Okay. Take another swig of coffee.
No, I don't know why. I just lost the entire site.
You what?
Lost the site.
Hey, I'll ask my own question.
No, that's okay. I'll ask you the question there.
So. The number three?
Yes. You got it now?
No! Wait.